You guys, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books was nominated for a Webby Award, which is this really prestigious award that I am dying to win. And there's a People's Voice component, and you can vote and get me from number two, second place, to first place. But you have to vote. Please go to vote.webbys.com. Vote.webbys.com, but it's kind of complicated, so it might be easier just to go to zibbyowens.com or my Instagram at zibbyowens, where it'll always be in my stories and it's in one of those little circle highlights. Please, please, please vote. Voting ends April 18th and I'm in second place, so please vote for best individual episode, talk show, interview show. Thank you so much.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. And speaking of books, I have two of my own books coming out this spring and summer. Princess Charming is a picture book, which debuts on April 19th, and Bookends, a memoir of love, loss, and literature, comes out on July 1st, and it is truly a labor of love. I hope you'll pre-order, order, and join me on tour as I go across the country. You can find out more at zibbyowens.com or bookendsmemoir.com. And you can follow me on Instagram at zibbyowens because I always post about everything. Enjoy the show. So this is a bit of a non-traditional episode. Mary Ellen Bartley is not an author, but a photographer of books. I thought it would be really interesting for all of you to hear about her perspective on books and how she views them as objects. And also, her photographs are like my favorite things in the world. So I wanted you to hear from her. As far as bio goes, Mary Ellen Bartley is known for her photographs exploring the tactile and formal qualities of the printed book and its potential for abstraction. She has exhibited in numerous institutions, including the Queens Museum, the Walker Art Center, Houston Center for Photography, Parrish Art Museum, and the Watermill Center. One aspect of her practice is working in unique libraries and archives where she responds to collections and their habitats. Bartley has realized projects in the private libraries of artists such as Robert Wilson, Jackson Pollock, Lee Krasner, and most recently the Italian painter Giorgio Morandi. Born in New York in 1959, Bartley received a BFA from Purchase College and lives and works in Sag Harbor, New York. She is represented by Yancey Richardson Gallery in New York and the Drawing Room Gallery in East Hampton, New York. Enjoy this very special episode and then go online at Mary Ellen Bartley, I think with underscores, and go check out her work. She is amazing. MaryEllenBartley.com. All right. Welcome, Mary Ellen. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. This is a very exciting episode for me, a little bit different. So thank you for rolling with it and coming on my show.
Oh, it's so fun. I think your energy is so awesome. And since I've met you, I've just been exploring your whole kind of world and where we intersect. And it's really, really cool.
Oh, amazing. So for listeners, let me just tell you this story. I can't even remember how I found your photographs originally. I'm trying to remember, but I came, I feel like they were maybe in the drawing room in East Hampton.
No, maybe the first time, Yancey Richardson in Chelsea.
Okay. Well, anyway, I saw them in some gallery, and all of your work that I have fallen in love with is about books, stacks of white books, which is what I ended up buying, stacks of colored books now. You treat books as an artistic sort of artifact, everything from the spines to the pages, inside, outside, and you make it into this gorgeous visual thing. And so I, of course, fell in love with these, as I am such a huge book lover. I fell in love with your photos. And then, you know, we started reaching out, talking to each other on Instagram, as we do in this day and age. And then I was so lucky to get a chance to meet you in person just a few weeks ago. So it's like such a full circle, awesome moment to see the person. Because when you look at a photo, I never, you know, you don't know. It's sort of like a book. You don't know necessarily much about the person. And you,
right.
Anyway, so.
No, it's so fun because, I think you had posted something and said, I love these photographs. I'm not sure who made them, you know?
Yes.
But they're in my house and I look at them every day. And then someone else wrote, well, that's Marilyn Bartley. And I got some kind of, hashtag alert. And that's how we connected. And then to do it in real life was really cool. I mean, remember we met in Sag Harbor and I had a ton of work up. I had a residency at the church in Sag Harbor, and you visited and you saw a lot all at once.
I was overwhelmed. I was like in heaven. I feel like I could live in a room just surrounded by your work. It's truly amazing. And I don't in any way want to put you on the spot, but, you know, I love books so much. Do you also love books?
Yeah, you know, I think you're a writer and you come from such a different angle than I do. I originally started photographing books because I was searching for an object that I could return to again and again and kind of arrange and make a very almost abstract still life. You know, something, I love this painter, Giorgio Morandi, and I had actually learned of his work through books when I was in art school many, many moons ago. And then he had a big show at the Met in 2008, and I had really seen a lot of his work all at once. And I said, I need to go and find my object that I'm going to, like, maybe take a year to look at. You know, that was my plan. And I tried bottles and cans and things, and they were just too domestic. They just weren't sort of general enough for me. And then I saw this stack of books at a friend's house, and it had those remainder lines, you know, that like would books, I mean, no writers like to see those, but the Strand used to always have, like, you know, bins of books with these remainder lines. And anyway, just seeing a stack of books with sort of like two black lines just looked so intentional and sculptural. And I just started photographing these paperbacks, and there was an entire world in there. And I still return. And that was like, what was that, 11 years ago? So I'm still looking at this sort of like beautiful, quiet abstraction that I find by just stacking books and arranging them slowly and looking at them with natural light on them. So that was the beginning. And then it's sort of like the gift that keeps giving. Every time, I'm always looking at books now, and I just find new aspects to kind of focus on. And I collect the Pulp Fiction, the very bright books you saw, that was from The Strand. I had a foot surgery and I was living on 13th Street. And when I could finally like walk with my crutches, I would go to The Strand every night and find one or two, really colorful paperbacks in the 48 cent bin. And I kept them for, you know, months and months. And then I finally started playing with them. And so I have a huge collection now of Pulp Fiction books. And I'm always suppressing the content. That's really one of the things I do. There's something very campy, very interesting. Another artist would go in totally a different direction with the same material. I'm very interested in intentionally suppressing the content, the narrative, the noise, maybe. So you know it's there. You know what a book contains, but I'm playing with that and making it a very calm, quiet composition or something that's almost impenetrable, yet has so much visual interest and engagement that it's a different way to engage with a book as an object.
So interesting. So when you read for fun, like do you, like the books that you love, do you ever feel tempted from a content standpoint to do something with those? Like, do you have a book you come back to? Not to ask you for a specific book, but just books that you love, like would you ever make a stack of those, or that goes against your whole theory?
It kind of goes against it, unless there's like sort of, you know, a poetic way to do it. Because I sort of think of my work as almost tonal poems, you know? They're sort of compositional and musical and more like poetry. So if there is text that sometimes comes in, but it's very open-ended. It's not like, I love that book and don't you love this paragraph? And it's not about that so much. It's about playing with how to keep that open-ended, how to maybe have that idea but not spell it out. You know, I did this whole series at Gray Gardens in East Hampton. I had access to the really faded, damaged books that were kept since the Beals lived there and the house was going to be sold. And I got in there, and there, the titles, they kind of underscored or hinted at the entire kind of fable of the Beals. So I included the titles. I kept them very simple. I didn't go into the campy aspect. That would have been too easy, and it's really not where I'm coming from. This was much more subtle and poignant. There were titles like, This Bright Summer, on a book that was ruined and faded and almost like feral, you know? There was another title that was humorous, but kind of sad, released from nervous tension, you know? So it was a portrait of their library. And that brings me to just to explain a little bit that I do two very different approaches when I do these books. One is I collect books because of some trait that I, you know, find really interesting about them, like the white colors or the top stain of a hardcover book that happens to be in all sorts of interesting colors. Or maybe it's the,
End papers?
End papers, thank you. I did a whole series on that. So, you know, I find all these different traits. But the other thing I do is I go to libraries, specific libraries, and find my way. Like I say, what is it about, like, how do I represent this library? You know, what's my way in? So I have to sort of be there and be in the place and kind of come up with a strategy to photograph it and to show it and to make a project out of it. So I've done a number of artist libraries, which I find super interesting because it's more of a visual, visual artists. So it's sort of like, how do visual artists, what do they have? What are Jackson Pollock's books and how might he have used them? But I don't want to spell it out like a historian might or make very definite, you know, kind of conclusions. I want to keep it very much open and very much suggestive and very much about, wow, here's this book that these artists held and referred to, and there was part of their life, you know? So there's all those things that when I'm in a specific library come into play. And it's a very different approach. It's almost like doing an assignment, you know, like an editorial assignment as opposed to just an abstract in my studio composition. So those two things feed each other nicely.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much. Hey, grown-ups, the Cat in the Hat cast is a new podcast from Wondery, perfect for the whole family. Join the Cat in the Hat and your favorite Dr. Seuss characters as they get whisked away on a new adventure every week. Fish dreams of creating his very own polite and quiet podcast. That is, until he gets a surprise visit to his Fishbowl podcast studio from the Cat in the Hat himself, and it becomes very clear that the cat has other plans for the podcast, and those plans are the opposite of quiet. The cat may be disruptive, but it turns out he's also a great help to get Fish out of all kinds of predicaments. Bursting with music, silliness, and rhymes, the Cat in the Hat cast encourages us all to find fun that is funny in every episode. So sing along to new favorite songs, try your luck at Titanic tongue twisters, have some fun with wondrous wordplay, and most importantly, bring your family along for all of the adventures in the Cat in the Hat cast. Follow the Cat in the Hat cast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the Cat in the Hat cast ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Wondery Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts.
So what would you do here? Can you see the books behind me? Yeah.
Well, you have a lot of color-coded books, bookshelves.
They go all the way around.
I think I would make some big stacks of color with you.
We may have to do that at some point. I feel like that would be so fun. What have you learned about the people who collect your work or who buy your photos? Do you know anything about them or have you met them? Tell me about that.
That's so interesting because you, as an artist, you make all this work and it goes out into the world. And I don't know much about it. I mean, unless it's an institution or a foundation where they then show the work, you know, and I have some connection to them. It's just out there in someone's, you know, living room, bathroom, who knows. But just recently, actually, I try to make books of my book projects.
Yep.
So I love this idea of like a book of books.
Yes, yes.
Ultimately, I would love to do that with every project. But as you know, making a book takes a lot more or just as much time as making the pictures. So I would need like another year inside of every series because I seem to jump from one to the next. Like someone says, oh, you did Jackson Pollock. Now you should go and do Picasso. You know, there's all these connections and that I'm always following. And I would like to take the time to, or maybe collaborate with, you know, some bookmakers. I've done it. I think I have three now. And one just was acquired by MoMA.
Excited. That's
amazing.
And
guess where they found it?
Where?
Instagram. How is that possible? It's a crazy world that we make these really interesting connections, right?
Yes.
You know all about the power of it. I'm much more of a dabbler, you know. I don't do it every day, but it's really interesting that, you know, my work can find its way into interesting places. It's really just, you know, it's just, I'm really grateful for it. And it's really just a wonderful thing.
Amazing. You should do one book with all your series, you know, like a retrospective type.
Yeah.
Not everything, but like a little bit from each one.
Yeah, that could be interesting, right? Sort of seeing how they connect and how one thing leads to another.
Yeah.
It sounds like a good book. Yeah.
I would buy that.
would you publish it? That's the hardest thing for artists.
No, I know. Actually, I've been approached by a number of like photographers or, you know, we just don't do that type. We only do a couple books at Zivi Books, but I could certainly help you. I could try to help you find somebody.
Hey, let's do it.
I just spoke to
you. In all your free time, Zivi.
I know. We had like a sideline photography business. I love photography though. So it would be a joy, but I did just meet this book packager the other day who says he could, you know, he does all the design and makes it. I just don't know who then. Then I guess you just sell it to, you know, one of the big Tashin or.
Well, honestly, there's most photographers pay for their own books. Mm. And then, you know, they're distributed by, you know, DAP and places, and hopefully they make the money back. But that's kind of the state of art publishing now. Hmm. Unless you're an established, you know, there's a crossover, there's some larger market. But yeah. So. That's another reason. It's sort of like a little bit prohibitive.
The thing about your work, though, is that even though it is great on Instagram, and I think it's particularly great versus other photographers, perhaps because it's so like visually arresting. Like each image, even on a small scale, translates very well. I don't know, that wasn't the right word, but when I was there and could see all the photos in person, like there is nothing like that. There's something with the texture and seeing them up close that makes you stop in your tracks, which is hard to convey on a small scale. But
yeah, and for me, like this idea, my photographs don't really look like photographs. Often people are like, oh, I like your paintings or I like your drawings, and I kind of work until I get some kind of transformation. You know, somehow the print sings and it looks, you know, it looks like the right kind of print for the project I'm doing. And it does look sort of non-photographic in a way because I'm trying to push it in different directions.
So if people want to research and buy your prints, like the actual ones that you know, make yourself and all of that, they can go to your website, right? MaryEllenBartley.com.
You know, that will, I mean, I don't sell directly at all. I sell through my galleries and there is gallery information there. And I have a show coming up very soon. May 21st is opening at the Drawing Room in East Hampton.
Oh, that's why I was talking about the Drawing Room in East Hampton. I knew there was something that had to do with
that. Yeah, yeah. And that'll be like their first summer show.
And what about people who just love what you're doing, but maybe they can't afford a whole print? Is there any way to get, you know, do you make like posters or anything? You
know, No, I don't. I haven't, you know, maybe a book would be good, but I'm just doing the prints now and, you know, they're a lot more affordable than paintings.
That's true. Well, I really just wanted you to come on so that people would go check you out, follow you on Instagram at Mary Ellen Bartley, right? Is that right?
Yeah, what is it? MaryEllen_Bartley.
MaryEllen_Bartley. And if anyone is going to be out in the Hamptons, when does it close? May 21st until when?
May 21st to June 20th.
June 20th. So if you're out in the Hamptons or you feel like making a road trip and checking out her work in person, you should go to the Drawing Room in East Hampton during that time and you'll see what I mean about how beautiful they are. And if nothing else, you'll get a chance to admire books in a whole new way and follow another artist who is equally obsessed by books in a different way. Anything I'm forgetting that you'd like people to know?
I do have work up at Yancey with a Y, Yancey Richardson Gallery in Chelsea. There's some work up on the wall there now. They usually have some work of mine, you know, in the gallery to see. So that's another way to see it in person.
Yancey Richardson is a great gallery anyway. So there's always lots of cool stuff there. So that's another fun Yeah. Less of a trek if you live in the city than going to the Hamptons. But
that is fun.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for just chatting with me more about your work. I hope that listeners find your work as amazing as I do. DM me if you're listening at Zibby Owens on Instagram and just tell me if you also adore these photos, because I really do. Anyway, thank you, Mary Ellen.
Thanks, Zibby. Awesome. See you on Instagram soon.
See you on Instagram soon. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you like this podcast, you will love my new anthology called Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids. Check it out, and you'll hear from 49 authors about all sorts of things moms don't have time to do. All the authors have been on this podcast. Also, check out my TikTok, @WithZibbyAndTracy, my other podcast, Sex Talk with Zibby and Tracy. Check out Moms Don't Have Time to Write on Medium. And of course, my new publishing company called Zibby Books. And now back to our daily author interview site and a quick hello from some of my kids.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Enjoy the show.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.